Have you ever noticed that children like to find little places to hide? I don't mean necessarily to hide from mommy and daddy when they've gotten into trouble. But I mean they like to play in little places. They like to build a little clubhouse or a treehouse. Some parents have noticed, you know, we spend all this money on an expensive Christmas present, and the child spends the rest of Christmas Day playing inside the box. They like to climb in boxes. They like little secret places that they like to hide in, and that's their favorite little place. Might be a closet, a treehouse, a box, little places like that. And it can be very fun. But there's something else in that. Children will sometimes go there when they're very frightened. Maybe there's a thunderstorm, and where do they go? They go to their closet. They go to their favorite little secret place, and they feel safe there, a secret place. I lived over in Great Britain for 7 years, and I noticed in some of the old manors and mansions and old castles, they have secret rooms and passageways. You've seen that in some of these movies, you know, and they got a secret passageway and a secret room that nobody knows about. And they hide there, and they hide out from people and play games on them and so forth. For a couple of years, when I was in Edinburgh, I lived in the basement of such a place. A rather wealthy family had really a mansion, but they rented out the basement to college students. And so I stayed there, and occasionally they let me go upstairs when they were out of town to tidy it up and to take care of it and make sure there weren't any burglars. And I'd sometimes look around. I felt like I was in an old Sherlock Holmes movie or something. Said, there's secret passageways in this place, and I bet if I moved a panel over and looked in there, you know, there's got to be a secret room in here somewhere. And they do have those over there in some of the old manors and castles, a secret place. I've never owned a house, but I've always hoped that if I ever have the money to buy a house, I'm going to build a secret room, a secret place, a passageway nobody knows about by me. No, I'm not going to be hiding contraband or something like that. I know some people do that. They'll put in a false wall and they'll hide something, guns, drugs, or whatever from the authorities. No, it'd be a little secret place that nobody knows about but me. I thought about that. As a teenager, I thought maybe I could dig something in the backyard and you could only get in it by going in the garage and moving something over. You know, it's that idea of a secret place that nobody else knows about. A secret place. This morning I'd like to direct your attention to a few verses in the Word of God about a rather remarkable subject that we sometimes overlook, but it's found several times in the remarkable phrase, the secret place. Please open your Bibles to the passage that was read earlier in your hearing, Psalm 27. I've already shared some of these thoughts with one or two of you individually as your pastor, as some of you have needed to know this secret place of God in time of trouble. But today I'll be speaking to you, and not just as your preacher, but as your pastor, opening my heart to you as my brothers and sisters in Christ, telling you about this secret place that God has provided for His children. Look at Psalm 27, verse 5. In the New King James, it reads, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." Now, this is the first of several times that David uses this phrase, the secret place. And most of the times that the phrase is found, it is in Scripture, in the Psalms, or one or two other places we'll be looking at. It's a topical study this morning. Because we are like David, we need to know the secret place, the hiding place. Now, the setting for Psalm 27 is that David is on the run again. The scholars are a little debated about, is he running from Saul or from Absalom? You know, in the book of Samuel, he ran from both the enemy Saul as well as from his son Absalom. Most of the time, though, he was running from Saul. As you read through the psalm, you find him saying that the wicked are after him, but he's found a hiding place, a safe, secure cave, as it were, where they can't find him. And God has protected him from his enemies, from his adversaries. I think that it probably fits some of the other passages in Samuel. In 1 Samuel 19:2, David is talking to Jonathan and is saying, "I've got to hide myself because Saul is after me." And in chapter 20, verse 5, and in verse 24, David hides himself out in a field so that Saul couldn't catch him. And that as we see the adventure continues, Saul goes after him in this place. David just manages to get out. And he goes over here and Saul's just on his trail. And you wonder, why didn't Saul ever catch him? Because God kept hiding him in secret place after secret place, maybe a cave and a field out in the woods on a mountain. And so David knew what it was like to find a secret place for safety against Saul, who wanted to kill him. And here he says, the Lord has provided for me a secret place, but not just for individual men like Saul that were after him, but it was a secret place for safety from any kind of enemy, any kind of problem or affliction, anything that would come his way. Now, the word here in the Hebrew for secret place is sefer. It's usually translated the secret place. New American Standard, New King James have it like that. King James has the secret. The NIV has the shelter. And so all of these capture a different aspect about it. A shelter, a safety place, a place of refuge, a secret place. Now, the first and main thing that we need to see about the secret place in Scripture is that it is God's secret place that He has provided for His children for safety and for shelter for anything. And He's provided for all of us. He's often provided such a place for His children in Scripture. I've mentioned David. Let's also look at Elijah. 1 Kings 17:3, God was shielding Elijah from Ahab and Jezebel that were after him. And so God said to Ahab, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. So He provided a secret place for Elijah to run and to hide out for a little while. And then while he was there, and he prayed and he called out to God, and God fed him and took care of him. The word sefer is related to another Hebrew word, which means to hide or to conceal. And that's what the secret place is where God hides us. He conceals us so that others cannot find us. Where Saul couldn't find David, where Ahab couldn't find Elijah, God hides us so no problem can find us out. David often had need to find a hideout. You know, we talk about robbers finding a hideout so the police cannot catch them. But a hideout is not always a place where thieves go to hide from the law, but a hideout can be a good place where the good people hide out from the bad people. We find David hiding out at one place called the Cave of Adullam. I don't know if the archaeologists have ever found that, the various caves there in Palestine. And Dave found one called the Cave of Adullam, and it said all sorts of people came to him and hid out in this Cave of Adullam. And so it was a hideout, not as they were about to be a bunch of marauding Cossacks, but they were hiding out, getting closer to God, hiding out from Saul. The secret place is like that. It's a hideout to get closer to God and to get away from the enemies. Now, Scripture uses several similar metaphors to describe this secret place. Sometimes it's called a shield where God protects us. Psalm 119:114 says, you are my hiding place, sefer, and my shield. Now, a few weeks ago, we looked at the Christian soldier, and we have to take up the shield of faith. God is our shield. He is the one that protects us. He is our bulwark. And often elsewhere in the Psalms, David says, God is my fortress. He is a tower. We can run to Him, and He's strong around us. So we find these various metaphors like that. We've just sung the hymn that says, God hides us in the cleft of the rock. That's another one in Scripture. All these kind of speak of the same thing and bring out just another little aspect of the secret place. Another one is in the hymn we sang earlier, that leaning on the everlasting arms. That's a biblical phrase. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, it says that God's hands are underneath us. Underneath are the everlasting arms. All these speak about the safety and security and shelter God provides for His children. Now, there's another metaphor that is often used very similar to this, is that we find shelter and safety under the wings of God. You say, the wings of God, that's a curious metaphor. But it's found often in Scripture as a metaphor for a mother hen that takes the little chicks under the wings for safety. If there's a wolf out there, or if it's a time of storm, the little chicks run to the mother hen and they hide under the wings. David himself mixed several of these metaphors in the Psalms about the fortress and about the wings and the safety place of God's secret place. Let me read two or three of these verses for you. Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. Psalm 61:3 and 4 says, you have been a shelter, sather, for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. So all these are much speaking of the same sort of thing under different terms and different aspects. And maybe in the future I'll bring messages on the wings of God, the cleft of the rock, and these various other metaphors. Let me ask you to turn very quickly to one of the most famous of these verses. Keep your hand back here in Psalm 27, but look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is one of the most famous of the Psalms, and especially in the very first verse. Because here again, David brings in several of these metaphors and says basically that he's identifying them all the same. David says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. And he goes on to say in verse 4, under his wings, under his feathers, that he's a shield to us, and all these things. So David knew whereof he spoke. Brethren, do you know what it's like to be under the wings of God, in the fortress of God, in the secret place that God provides for shelter and safety in time of need? Now, some have tried to translate this as shelter, and that's a good rendering for it. In fact, there's almost a pun. I could have done a little study on this. I wonder if the English word shelter comes from sather. In Hebrew, it is somewhat similar. Maybe, maybe not. But it's a similar idea, the idea of a shelter. Now, in French, the word for the shelter would be l'abri. And some of you that are familiar with the ministry of Francis Schaeffer in the past, they named their ministry in the mountains of Switzerland l'abri. It was French-speaking part of Switzerland, and they called this the shelter, where different people from around Europe and different people from around the world could come for shelter. They said, I just can't take it anymore. There's so much loneliness and hurt. I don't know where to turn. Schaeffer says, you can come to the shelter. Well, God has provided a shelter for every one of us. Brethren, there are times when each one of us needs a shelter. In time of a storm, in time of a major of affliction, a time of problems where you feel, I just got no place to go, I need help. And God has provided for us. When? Well, he provides it for us especially in times of danger, like David, whose very life was being threatened. In times of emergencies. Times when you just can't go on one more step. You have nowhere else to go. When you're desperate, when you're broken, when you're weeping, that's when God opens the door to the secret place and says, I provide this for you right here at this time. You may not be in such a time right now, so you may not be in the shelter. We can't live in this shelter all the time because there are times God will test us, as it were, by withdrawing his presence from us to kind of test us to see if we can still trust him when we don't sense God around us. But when those problems come upon us, like Saul's enemies chasing down David, when those enemies come against you and you feel overwhelmed by them, that's when you know the shelter. That's the time to seek out the secret place. But what are the enemies? Well, David had his enemies. Ahab was one of the enemies of Elijah. The enemies we may face may not be individuals. Sometimes they are individuals in our family or friends or neighbors. In times of intense persecution around the world, do we have brothers and sisters that know the secret place because they're in times of persecution? But brethren, your enemies might be fear. Well, you're just afraid. I'm not just talking about some little phobia or what am I going to do tomorrow, but fear. I can't face another day. The circumstances. That's an enemy. That's a time to find the secret place. Worry. What's going to happen tomorrow? I'm going to court. Or what's going to happen? We're in an emergency. Find the secret place. That's an enemy after you. Find the shelter from worry or loneliness, pain, where deep down you feel like you've been stabbed and the tears flow so freely and you say, I've never hurt so much. The best time to seek out the secret place is in grief. When you're weeping, when you're hurting, and many of us know what that's like, someone so dear to us, a parent, a husband, a wife, a child, and you find yourself barely even able to speak, and what you say is, I never knew I could hurt so much. That's the time. Seek out the secret place. And there are times you're just groping for this secret place, and there are times God just reaches out and pulls you into it. Brethren, there is a place of safety and shelter. There is a secret place when you need it the most. Have you ever felt like a wounded deer surrounded by hungry wolves? No place to go. That's how David felt once or twice in Scripture. He felt like, I just can't go on. I'm in danger like this. You ever feel like a wounded deer like that, surrounded by the wolves? Find the secret place of protection and safety. Now, it's a secret place that God has prepared for His children. And it's a hiding place from danger. I think some of you have read the famous book by Corrie Ten Boom, The Hiding Place. You know the story of that. In time of World War II, the Nazis had invaded Holland and they were going after the Jews. Well, some of the Christians here provided hiding places in their homes, a little secret panel or something under the ceiling or up in the attic, some place where the Nazis would look but couldn't find them. And the Ten Boom family hid some Jews in their family during that time. The hiding place. Well, brethren, God has provided a hiding place for us too. You see, the word here could be translated the secret place, the hiding place, where God hides us. So as it were, the enemies, like the Nazis, cannot find you. So whatever your enemies are, turn to God. So that the enemy of fear, as it were, cannot find you. The enemy of loneliness, pain, grief, cannot find you, as it were, anymore. Why? Because God is hiding you from them. Now, one of the problems we have with the hiding place is that when these problems come our way, sometimes we want to just, you know, bite the upper lip and say, you know, just, you know, be strong. You know, I don't want to be a coward and go and hide. And you say, well, you know, only cowards run and hide. I'm going to face this. No, sometimes it is cowardice to hide, but brethren, sometimes it's wise. It's wisdom to hide. If you've got far more enemies against you than for you, it's not necessarily a bad thing to run and find shelter and hide from them. David did. That's a time to regroup your forces and to plan your strategy. There is a time to face your enemies and to fight them toe to toe, fist to fist. But rather than there's a time to fight them, there's a time to hide from your enemies as well. Any boxer will tell you that. They'll say there's a time to put up your defenses and slug it out, and there's a time to just simply duck. This is the time to duck. This is the time to retreat and to hide. God approves of it. And God provides for it. There's an interesting example I found where this the verb form of secret place is found in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 36:26, we're told that the king, who was not a good king at that time, commanded Jeremiel, the king's son, and Sariah, the son of Azrael, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to seize Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet. They were going to seize them and execute them. But the Lord hid them. That's interesting. The Lord hid them. It's almost like He said, Jeremiah, come over here. Baruch, you come over here. I'm going to hide you somewhere. And we're not told where they were hidden. We don't even know where they were. The king and his people couldn't find them. They were hidden. Brethren, there are times we want to just... You ever feel like I just want to run away and hide somewhere? It's like everybody's against me. The devil's on my trail. All the problems. I just wish I could go somewhere and hide. You ever wish you could be just like that little child that can just find that little closet or climb up in the treehouse or that little secret place that you probably had as a little child? You ever feel like that? Say, I just wish that I was a little child again, sitting in my mother's arms, or I could find that secret place that I had. And your memory says, I remember there was a thunderstorm and I'd go to that secret place. We feel like that, don't we, as adults? Some storm of life comes our way. The devil's after us. He says, he's just not giving me any peace. God has provided the secret place. Find it. Know what it is. How to get there. But know, brethren, God has provided it. And it's a secret place that God hides us so that even Satan cannot find us there. So it's not cowardice to seek out the hiding place. It's wisdom. Proverbs 22:3 uses again the verb form and says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. There's a time to fight. There's also a time to hide. To fight another day. Now, as I said, not all the time, because God says there's a time that He withdraws the sense of His presence. You see, in the secret place, you sense God's presence and His security and His safety, but there are times He kind of withdraws from us to test us. He's still there, but it's like to test us. But brethren, there are those times when we need Him. What are the times that we find the hiding place? When we need it the most. It's right there, just a breath away. Now, in Psalm 27:5, David seems to talk about it as being a place in the temple. He says, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. Now, he uses these terms parallel, tabernacle, pavilion, and it's different words in the Hebrew. And some have taken this to mean, well, the pavilion is some sort of a tent. I read one commentary that said, well, it's like a general's tent. It's got all the soldiers protecting it. You go there, you're safe. Not really, because at this time there was no temple. It was a tent tabernacle. So David's using the term synonymously. So he's saying that in time of trouble, God hides me in the tabernacle which was the predecessor to the temple. It was a secret place hidden there. Now, where? It's a fascinating subject to study how the tabernacle was constructed and then lay of the temple. You had the Holy of Holies and you had these various other rooms in there. Evidently, there were also some secret rooms that maybe only the priests knew about. Matthew 24:26, Jesus referred to the secret chambers of the temple. We also find in the Old Testament that, lo and behold, even in time of apostasy, one of the priests found the book of God, the law of God, hidden in the temple somewhere. Evidently, during persecution, they took the books of the law and hid them somewhere so that soldiers couldn't find them. And then later, even the priests couldn't find them. And then one of them stumbled across this secret room and said, we found the book of the law. Let's begin to read it. And they felt like, well, we haven't heard these words before. It's been almost 20 years since archaeologists found something amazing over in the Middle East. At the bottom of Mount Sinai, there's an old Eastern Orthodox monastery, a very famous one, Mount St. Catherine's Monastery. And in St. Catherine's Monastery, they found various ancient biblical manuscripts 100 years ago. In fact, the most famous biblical manuscript of all, Codex Sinaiticus, was found there over 100 years ago. But they found all the manuscripts, and they cataloged them, and they asked the monks, any more? No, there are no more manuscripts. We've shown them all, we've published them, we've listed them. But then about 20 years ago, some scholars went back there, and they're still looking around. And guess what? They found a secret room that even the monks didn't know about. They said, well, there's nothing over there. And they said, well, wait a second. This wall is too thick. There's got to be something back in there. So they tapped the wall, and they broke through, and they found out there was a secret hiding place in there where some monks hundreds of years ago had hidden some manuscripts. And they began to publish these manuscripts. So it kind of reminded me of that story where they found the law of the Lord hidden in the temple, as if to say there are hidden rooms and secret places in God's tabernacle and in His temple. You know, they're still finding some of these sort of secret places in the pyramids in Egypt. It's almost like the Egyptians saw the need to have a secret place. God has provided secret chambers in His temple. Now, in 2 Chronicles 22, 10 and 11, we find another incident about this secret place in this temple. Again, another evil king was on the throne and was after young Joash, who was the rightful heir to the throne. And so the evil monarch sat on the throne and was going to kill little boy Joash, the little prince that was to be king. But it says that the priest hid Joash somewhere in the temple for 6 years. Now, I'm sure the evil monarch would send soldiers in there and say, he's in there somewhere. He couldn't have sneaked out. But every time they go in there, they couldn't find him. Why? Because the priest had hid him. This seems to be what kind of David's talking about here. God hides us in His tabernacle, the secret place of His tabernacle. Now, of course, David's not being superstitious, saying, I'm going to hide in the tabernacle because it's something superstitious about the building. No. It's the idea that the temple of God was a sanctuary. You know, we call the auditorium in a church building a sanctuary. Why do we call it that? Well, a sanctuary means it's a sanctified place. It's a holy place that we've set aside to worship God. It's nothing special about the actual building. Those aren't holy bricks and mortar. But it's been sanctified. It's been dedicated to God. It's a place we set aside to meet with God every week. It's a sacred place in that sense. But it's in a way patterned after the temple, that it's a place set aside to go to meet with God, but it being a sanctified place, therefore it's a place where we can find sanctuary. So the term sanctuary has come to mean both a holy place and a safe place. Years ago, you heard about the sanctuary movement, where certain churches would hide refugees and hide them there in the church. So a church is like a sanctuary. 1 Kings 2:28, we find Joab, when they were finally about to arrest him, he runs and he sought sanctuary in the temple. It says that he went into the temple and he grabbed onto the horns of the altars and says, "You can't get me, I'm in the temple. I'm safe here, this is a sanctuary." They went back to the king and said, "Well, what do we do? You know, he's grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. We can't kill him. What do we do?" And Solomon said, "He's not supposed to be there. He's an evil man. He's not a priest. Go and get him and take him out." And sure enough, he was executed. And Joab said, he says, you're not going to kill me. I'll die here. And they said, "You'll die here, all right." And so they killed him. So you see, he thought that he could find sanctuary there. But God's people can find sanctuary, but not God's enemies. God's secret place is a sacred place. Now, specifically, in the secret place of the tabernacle, why the tabernacle and why not the palace, or why not high up on a mountain? Why the temple? Why the tabernacle? What was the main purpose for the tabernacle? So that God could have sacrifices, receive them, and commune with his people. That's what David is getting at. It's the place that he has provided where there is sacrifice and where there is communion. The Holy of Holies. One ancient commentator, Adam Clark, said, "Were there no other place, he would put me in the Holy of Holies so that an enemy would not dare to approach me." You see, God had ordained that nobody but nobody goes into that Holy of Holies but the high priest, and only one day a year. So not even the other priests or the prophets could go in there, but only that one person upon pain of death. If anybody else got in there, God himself would kill them. What David is saying is there's a place in God's spiritual temple. He's provided. I'm one of the priests. God has allowed me the privilege of coming in there. And he's put a note on the door. Nobody else can come in here upon pain of death. It's as if to say even Satan cannot get into this secret place. Brethren, that's going to be one of the greatest things about heaven. No devil. You say, "Oh, I want to be there." In a way, you can be there in the secret place on earth. Because when the devil is going after you and tempting you and accusing you and all these things, find the secret place where even the devil cannot go. It's as if the Lord says, "Thus far shalt thou go and no further, Mr. Devil. This is mine." He's finding shelter under my wings. And so it's the Holy of Holies that even the devil cannot approach to. Something else. It's in the Holy of Holies, the secret most place in the temple. And that's where the sacrifices were. This speaks about the principle that we find sanctuary, safety, and shelter in the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His grace, in His love, and in the sacrifice. We find it in the blood of Christ. In the fact that He died for us. That is our safety place against the devil. The devil can no longer accuse us because we find safety and shelter against all of his accusations and his temptations and all of his lies and all of his murder. The blood of Christ. The sacrifice of Christ. It's our sacrifice. And when we're in this secret place, communing with God is when we're closest of all to the shadow of the cross. What is the secret place? It's the shadow of the cross. Are we ever closer to God than when we are closest to our crucified Savior? That's what David is getting at here. In the deepest part of the temple, in the deepest part of the tabernacle, where there are the sacrifices that foreshadowed the coming of Christ, that's the safety. That's the secret place, brethren. So if you find yourself in danger or spiritually cold and you need to come back to the secret place, come back to the cross. For that is the secret place. You find safety in the shadow of the cross of our Lord Jesus. Let me direct your attention to another passage in Scripture. Turn to Psalm 81, where we're told a little bit more about the secret place. There are other aspects about this secret place. As I was studying this, I was amazed. It's like a beautiful diamond with all these facets. Now, we're only just looking at the phrase, the secret place. There's even more when you look at it being a tower, a fortress, a shield, the wings, the cleft of the rock, his arms. We'll look at those later in other studies. But this one gives us a very interesting phrase. Look at Psalm 81, verse 7. Now, what the psalm is doing is recounting how God delivered His people from the dangers of Egypt and brought them out into the desert. And, of course, they were crying out, "Help us, God." In verse 7, he says, "You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder." What was that? We heard a little thunder a few minutes ago. Well, what was the thunder that he's talking about here? The thunder, if it was at Mount Sinai. Why did God bring them out of Egypt? To deliver them from danger, but also to have communion. Elsewhere in Scripture, I think it's in Hosea and in some of the prophets, it says, God says, "I brought you out that I might bring you in." Not just into the land flowing with milk and honey on the other side of the Jordan. He says, "I brought you out into the wilderness that I might commune with you." The Egyptians won't be there. The Canaanites won't be there. The Moabites. Just nobody except you and me. I brought you out into the wilderness, as it were, for a honeymoon. And so when God, as it were, brought them out there, he says, "Now, this secret place is an awesome place." And he convinced them of that as he brought them out. And you know, he had already parted the Red Sea. He'd done various miracles. And then it says when God himself came down and was showing his presence with them, there was thunder and there was lightning and there was an earthquake and there was a loud horn and all these noises and people shook. That's what God's reminding them of here. He says it was a secret place of thunder. Now, what does this tell us about the secret place that we have? It tells us that the secret place God has provided for His children is a secret place of power. The power speaks of His power to protect us from all dangers, but also, just like He did at Mount Sinai, to remind us what an awesome God He is. So, brethren, when you retreat to the secret place, it's not a place for fun and games. It's a place of awe. Now, unfortunately, the word awesome has become just a popular word on the lips of teenagers saying, "Oh, that's awesome," as they see something in football. That's not awesome. Awesome is when you're close to God and you can't even speak. You're dumbstruck. You just want to be silent in the presence of God. In fact, at Mount Sinai, when God did this physical manifestations of his thunder and of his power, as he says here, the secret place of his thunder, it says people trembled. In the secret place, there is safety from the world, but you feel the awe of the power of God. Do you know what it's like to be there? Do you know what it's like to be where you don't even think about the dangers of the world? You're in the presence of God. And you realize the awesome power and majesty. This is God. And you're just together with Him. Now, it's not a fearful thing. I want to get out of here. But it's like, it's a good thing. I'm with the power of God. It's an awesome thing that draws you closer and closer to Him. So that's one thing that this verse tells us about the secret place. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. Let me call your attention to one other aspect about this term, secret place. It's a secret place. Remember that old TV show years ago, "I've Got a Secret"? Children like to do that. "I know something you don't know. I know a secret you don't know." And they play a little game. "I've got a secret place. You don't know it." You know, it's kind of like hide and seek. Well, God's got a secret place. He knows where it is. And He lets us in on the secret. And He doesn't tell Satan about it. It's almost like an invisible place. Satan trying as he would, like a hungry wolf trying to track us down. And he's like a sniffing dog. Where's it? And just cannot find it. Because Satan has not been told this secret. He's been told, keep out. So it's a secret place. And it's only for God's children. Brethren, it is a secret place where all God's children can go. But only God's children can go. Not the devil. Not the demons. Not non-Christians. It's only for God's children. It's a special place. It's their place. It's our place. Non-Christians cannot enter it. In fact, non-Christians don't know where it is. They don't know what it is. They cannot see it. They cannot even conceive of this place. They have no idea in their wildest imagination. What is this secret place? What are you talking about, preacher, this secret place? I've never been into something like that. Every believer here this morning, you know what it's like to be in the secret place sometime or another in your life. But if you're an unbeliever here this morning, you've never been in the secret place. More than that, you cannot even imagine what it is. Why? Because you're not a Christian. You've never been there. It's a secret to you. Your eyes are totally blind to it. You cannot even imagine what it's like. It is so utterly different. And we that have been in the secret place say, this is like the very door of heaven. And you only get there when you become a Christian. But if you're not a Christian, you've never been to the secret place. You can't even imagine what it's like. You don't know what you're missing. That's how good it is. You cannot imagine. It's far better than any secret place of safety you've ever been at. It's a secret place, and you don't know what you're missing. But be careful. Some non-Christians pretend to be Christians and try to find it or enter into it by pretending to be a Christian, like Joab. But learning a lesson from Joab, who'd had no place being in the secret place, and we went there for shelter, that was his undoing, and the troops found him out, and he had no place else to go. The secret place is for God's people, and the power of God protects them against enemies, and for a non-Christian to even try to go there and to seek it out, beware. This is a place only for God's children. It's a place of communion for him, for them. But it's a place of danger for those that are not Christian. But God invites you to come to Christ and gain entrance to the secret place. It's only through Christ. But sin is what keeps unbelievers away from the secret place. Because of their sin, they cannot enter into it. It's like that high priest, before he could go into the Holy of Holies, he had to make an offering outside. He had to wash his hands and he could go in. But nobody else could go into that secret place. But this same principle applies to Christians as well. Brethren, one of the reasons that we don't enjoy the secret place enough isn't just because of the trials or lack thereof, but because of sin in our life. You remember times in the past where you've been in the secret place and you said, Oh, that I could go back there again. What's keeping it from me? Is it God hiding it? No. It could be that those sins, your special sins that you're clinging to, are keeping you out of the secret place. Even in times of affliction, you'll hold on to that, and that keeps you out of the secret place. So we need to let go of our sin. Because, again, on the door of the secret place, God says, no sin. No sin allowed in here. The thing about these great afflictions is that God shakes us and we drop the sin and He pulls us into the secret place like that. But we have to leave it at the door. How do we get into the secret place? I wish I could take you there. There are times that I meet with some of you and some of your grief or great problems of weeping with those that weep. Brethren, there are times I wish I could just reach out and pull you into the secret place. I can't do it. It's not for me to do it. I'm your pastor. I can tell you about it. I can discuss it. I can show you in Scripture. I can tell you the glories of it. I can remind you of it when you've been there in the past. Oh, that I could be the one to bring you in there, but I can't. But I know someone that can. His name is Jesus. It's His secret place. And He's the one that takes us in there. And it works like this. When David was in his time of affliction, he called out to God as if to say, Lord, hide me in the secret place. Brethren, there are those times when you're hurting and you just say, oh, there's a secret place somewhere. Lord, help. The prayer then is to say, Lord, take me to the secret place. I need the secret place. Lord, I really need to be close to you at this time. I need safety. I need shelter. I need security. I need reassurance. Lord, I hurt and I just can't go in any longer. Do you ever find yourself saying something like, Lord, I just need to be close to you? Try praying something like, Lord, take me into the secret place. It's a biblical phrase. Lord, take me there. And He will when you need Him the most. He won't forsake you when you need Him the most. Lord, take me into the secret place. Now, sometimes He surprises us. You remember Jacob? He was on the run from Esau. And he was in danger. We don't find him crying out, give me the secret place. But he went down to sleep one night. And he had this dream of being at the very gate of heaven. And there's a ladder and the angels. What did he say when he woke up? He says, this is the very gate of heaven, and I didn't know it. What happened was God surprised him. It was Jacob saying, I'm in danger. Lord, help somehow. And the Lord surprised him and opened the door of the secret place. The Lord will do that sometimes. You see, He will open the door to lead you into affliction. And he said, what in the world is happening? I don't know how to get out of this. And the Lord said, surprises us by grace. Think of that phrase, surprised by grace. He takes us into the secret place. It's like He opens the door, reaches out and says, I've got a place for you. And He just brings us into the secret place. Do you know what that's like? Where the Lord irresistibly draws us in there. Can you remember ever being in the secret place? Well, of course you can. If you're a believer, you've been there sometime or another when you were first saved or at other times. I bet every one of us could give some sort of testimony. In fact, maybe we ought to get testimonies sometime from time to time of how you have been in the secret place. Some of you could give testimonies. I was in hospital. The doctors didn't know what to do. I was hurting and mourning. I was in affliction. I didn't know how to get out of it. And the Lord brought me into a special secret place. You can never forget it once you're there. But something about sin makes us forget about that. Have you forgotten the secret place, brethren? Come back to the secret place. It's still there. It hadn't gone away. It's something special. We don't see it, and it kind of moves around. It's a special place, but it's still there. Let me tell you something else about the secret place. It being secret and it being God's place tells us it's a supernatural place. Now, in David's day, it was primarily the temple, but David knew the secret place even out in the woods and in the mountain because he says that elsewhere in his Psalms. It's a supernatural place. It's not in one locality. It's not just here at church or in your own home. It can be anywhere because God's anywhere. But it's a supernatural place, not limited to just one geographical place. I suppose I could use this sort of illustration. Some of you have read science fiction. And you know that there's a science fiction idea of two parallel universes, and they say sometimes the universes touch. And where they touch, you can kind of walk back and forth, or you're in half in one, half the other. That's not a bad illustration of the secret place. When you're in the secret place, it's like you don't know if you're in heaven or on earth. You're a little bit of each. It's a supernatural place because you're close to the supernatural God. That's what the Holy of Holies was like. When the priest went in there, he was offering these sacrifices in the very presence of God. And so, brethren, it can be anywhere. It can be at your home. It can be out in the country. It could be here at church. It could be in the secret place of your prayer closet. Matthew 6:4, Jesus talked about going into the secret place of prayer. Often that's where it is. But it can be at any place. It's been my delight as a pastor sometimes when I visit people in affliction to weep with them that weep and to comfort them and to tell them about the secret place. One of the joys, I wish I could take you with me sometime. And I'm visiting some dear saint that's just wounded and hurting, but there's a twinkle in the eye. There's a certain smile that shows joy and inner peace. And I look at them and I want to say, you're in the secret place, aren't you? Have you ever been like that? People just look at you and say, you're in the secret place. There's just something about you. You're very close to God. You're hiding. It's almost like I've got a secret and you don't know what it is because you're not there. I'm in the secret place. That's one of the joys of being a pastor like that. But sometimes it's hard because I have to direct people. Their brethren, don't forget the secret place. It's there just when you need it. But it's a supernatural place that unbelievers cannot find. What's it like in the secret place? Turn with me to Psalm 31, verse 20. We've got three other verses we'll look at to tell us about the secret place. What's it like in the secret place? Maybe you've forgotten or you're a little curious. Tell me more about this secret place that David keeps mentioning. What's it like? It's the best place on earth. Doesn't matter where it is. Home, it could be on top of Mount Everest, it could be in your own basement. It's the best place on earth. It's the most wonderful place. Brethren, it's the most wonderful place you'll ever be, this side of heaven. Because as it were, it's like heaven on earth. The overlap of the two parallel universes. Look at Psalm 31. Verse 20, it says, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence. What's special about the secret place? God's there. God's there. Now, of course, God's everywhere because he's omnipresent. But in the secret place, like the Holy of Holies, God's there in a special way. It's like the little child runs to his treehouse and meets his friend. He goes to a little place. Brethren, the secret place is special because God is there. You'll never go to the secret place and not find God there. And that's where you find the nearness of God, the safety of God, something about him. What's it like there? It's wonderful. God shows himself. We've mentioned his power. There's also his love, his joy, his peace, his safety. Brethren, the secret place is where God is. And in those times of affliction, that's where you need to be, near to God. Now, let me show you one other thing. In the book of Song of Solomon. Turn with me to Song of Solomon 2:14. It's a chapter, and it's a book that a lot of people stay away from, but I think the old rabbis were right when they said the Song of Songs is the Holy of Holies of the Bible. And I'm only going to whet your appetite for some other studies that I'll bring to you much later on the Song of Solomon, which is my favorite book in the Old Testament. That's a deep book. In the Song of Solomon, we're told something about the secret place. Look at chapter 2, verse 14, and we find the bride speaking to the husband. We find here in this verse, 2:14, the bride, as it were, speaking to her husband, which is, of course, a picture of the bride of Christ speaking to Christ. Says, oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cleft, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. There's something else about this secret place. It's a romantic place. It's a place where you, as the bride of Christ, commune in a romantic way with your heavenly husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a special place. It's like the bridal chamber where only husband and wife go. It's a very special place. It's almost like a couple going on their second honeymoon. You know, a couple sometimes they say, you know, it's been kind of rough and maybe we've been arguing or it's been kind of a little dry and the flame of romance has been going down. They say, maybe we ought to go back to where we had our honeymoon. And sometimes, you know, the bride will be weeping and say, oh, it's just been so rough. And the husband says, you know, I was just thinking about, you know, he names the place where they went on their honeymoon. I was just thinking about Cape Cod or Niagara Falls. Just the mention of that does something to the bride. Oh, yes. We say we go back there. Oh, yes. Brethren, we need to retreat to the secret place for romantic interlude with our heavenly Jesus. I'll say no more on that. It's a holy subject. We'll look into that another time. But that's another aspect about the secret place that Jesus has provided for us. I'll ask you to turn to one more verse. That's probably the most important one of all. Psalm 27, verse 4. There's the one right before what we just read. And it tells us something else about the secret place that our Lord Jesus has provided. You see, we need to see Psalm 27:5 in the context. David's hiding out from the armies, verse 3, and then in verse 4 he says, one thing I've desired of the Lord, the most important thing of all, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. And that's what he goes on to talk about, the secret place, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. It's in the secret place you behold the beauty of the Lord. Another word for the beauty of the Lord is the glory of the Lord. That high priest, when he went into the Holy of Holies, he saw the Shekinah glory of God. And if he'd go home and they say, what was it like? He'd either say, I can't tell you. God's forbid me. Or he'd say, words could not capture it. Or he'd say, you couldn't believe it if I told you about it. But we went in there, he was astounded in the nearness of God, the glory of God, the beauty of God. Oh, my dear brethren, to come into the secret place of the Lord and behold the face of God, to hear his voice, to commune with him, the beauty of the Lord, the glory of God is in the secret place. And what a contrast. You see, this is like an oasis in the midst of the desert. This is provided in the midst of the afflictions and the trials and all the enemies. The last place you'd expect it. You'd think, well, in blessings, when everything's going well, that's not where you know the secret place, brethren. You don't know the secret place on the top of the mountain. You know it in the deepest valleys. God provides an oasis there amongst the enemies. That's where you see the glory of God the most. To behold the beauty of God. Well, what else is there? What is the stuff or the essence of the secret place? The answer is in Psalm 32:7, where David uses the word "set there" one more time. He says, in praying to God, he says, you are my set there. You are the hiding place. You see, it's not a room in a temple or in your closet. Israel thought it was like that. It was just the building. No, it's not just the building. What's in the secret place? We can talk about the love of God and the glory of God and all these things, wonderful as they are. The secret place is God himself. When you enter the secret place, you're enjoying union and communion with God. And not just the presence of God all around you, but you are united with God. The union and communion between God and his children, between Christ and his bride. God himself is the secret place. So you see, in a sense, God himself is the glory of heaven. And as Jonathan Edwards said, God himself is also the fire of hell as he displays his wrath there. God himself is the secret place. So when he says, come to the secret place, what he's saying is like, come under my wings, come into my very heart, come into my arms. He's saying, come close to me. Very dear place of intimacy and nearness. Heaven is God's ultimate secret place. No devil there, totally safe. The secret place on earth here is heaven on earth. In its deep union and communion with God himself. But I just wanted to share these things out of God's Word with you as your pastor and as your friend, to tell you about the secret place, to encourage you. You may be going through a great affliction now. You may be coming out of one. It could be that in this very next week, some of you may be crying out, oh, for the secret place, some surprising affliction or trial. Don't forget about it. It's there. May the Lord use these words to instruct us about it and to encourage us, knowing it's always there, and to remind us, brethren, the next time you're in great danger of any sort, like David, remember and flee to the secret place. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the secret place that you have provided as an oasis, as a cleft in the rock, as a fortress, as a place of safety and communion with you. We thank you that you are the safe place. You are the secret place. For when we go into it, Lord, we are going deeper into the heart of our Father and our God. And now, Lord, we pray for ourselves, for those times when we do need you. We pray that you would be there to bring us into the secret place whenever that time will come. And for any of us that may have to enter it in the next week or month, any time in the future, Lord, prepare us by reminding us of the secret place. For, Lord, we know that you are there in the secret place and you are waiting in the secret place. For when the clock strikes for the time for us to go into it, Lord, we thank you that in the secret place there is communion through the sacrifice of our Savior. So now, Lord, as we gather around the communion table, we would gather around the shadow of the cross and see how Jesus opened the door for the secret place. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen.